You know, in the Hebrew language, to repeat something is emphasizing it. To triple it, to say holy, 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 is to accelerate it above an exclamation point. When we say holy, 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 we're saying God is above everything. And what is the response? I loved that part where you just come in and say thank you. Because when we experience God that way, then how can we but thank him? How can our hearts not be lifted in the midst of whatever situation we're in? We're in a series. I've told you that I've never preached a complete series on the book of James. And maybe I have a little bit of Martin Luther in me who said it's a right strawy epistle. Because you know what straw is? Straw is the hollow shaft of the wheat. It's all the nutrition taken out and the leftovers. And for Martin Luther, he didn't find the grain inside of it. But there is much grain inside of it. And I am wholly blessed as I study for this. You know, oftentimes the humor is used to expose the stupidity and the weakness of pride and envy. And James hits it rather hard. But, you know, sometimes it's good to laugh at some of the things that are the worst plagues in our lives. You know, I'm reminded of a father who was left alone. His wife was off on a retreat to take care of the two kids, ages 15 and 10. And after several days, this dad needed a little affirmation. And he started fishing for a little compliment. He said, hey, I'm doing pretty well as a mother, don't you think? And the 15-year-old boy looked at him and said, hey, you're doing fine, Pop. I love the way you do cold cereal. And little 10-year-old Margaret responded, well, at least you're better than nothing. But sometimes that's the way we feel, isn't it? We puff up with pride, and then the pride gets pricked and deflated. You know, I heard this joke from a rabbi that in my former church, we hosted the beginning of a synagogue and for 2 years, and then continued a partnership with them. He told me this story one time. He said it seemed like a rabbi and a cantor were in the synagogue one evening rehearsing a service. And to make a dramatic point, the rabbi fell to his knees, beat upon his breast, and repeated, I am nothing, I am nothing, I am nothing. Meanwhile, his cantor, which is like our Connie, came in and saw the rabbi, and he fell to his knees and he said, I am nothing, God, I am nothing, I am nothing. And then all of a sudden the janitor came in to empty the trash. He looked at his rabbi and his cantor and he thought, oh, and he fell to his knees and said, I am nothing, I am nothing, I am nothing. To which the rabbi looked at the cantor and said, so look, who's got the gall to think he is nothing? Pride comes from everywhere, doesn't it? It invades our very lives. I was at a conference one time, and a very well-known author and pastor was being introduced by the host of the conference, and the host made a flowery introduction. He went on for about 5 minutes, and the crowd got up and clapped and rose to their feet even to greet this important author. And as he took the pulpit, the author said, Lord, please, please, may God you forgive this man for all the excessive praise he is offering. And may you forgive me for enjoying it so much. You see, the truth is, we have to make fun of pride and envy because they're so insidious. They creep into our lives and they become something that divides us from one another. And James has something to tell us about that. Hear the words from chapter 4. And I'm going to ask you to do something. You know, I told you at the beginning of the service, I'm not going to put PowerPoint up for a while. I'm just doing something different. There are little red books in your pews. They're called the Holy Bible. And if you take those out, you can read along with me on page 982 as I read the scripture for today. Won't that be exciting? Hear the word from James of the Lord. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with this world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is for nothing that the scripture says God yearns jealously for the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives all the more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into dejection. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. May God bless the reading of his word. Will you pray with me? Lord, each one of us have times when we've looked at someone else who's been puffed up. And we think, that's so-and-so. Thinks he's so great. But sometimes, Lord, we look into the mirror and we see that person is us. Help us, Lord, to be free of the shackles of pride and envy that are promoted through ads we watch on television, through the stars that we worship in the media. And clear us, Lord, to be your servants. Take my words and may they bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. What is envy? Well, James has said it in chapter 3 already. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But he's really not making all this stuff up. It's in the book of Proverbs, the wisdom of Solomon. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. You see, the main cause of evil and sin are envy. We live in a world that has only amped up envy. Television has done that. We see stars and money and riches every day on the boob tube, as my mom calls it. And we can't help but fall into, that's a beautiful dress. Wow, James Bond is a He-Man. And we see these pictures and why can't I have those? But envy left unchecked, becomes a main cause of every evil. We're willing to sacrifice ourselves. That may be one of the best reasons to remember that it is God that gives us grace. Grace. That's the free love that God offers us. No matter how envious or proud we are, no matter what we do, God is like a loving parent that says, yeah, you need correction, but I love you. I made you. I've created you to live in this world to expose my love. There's a definition. Being humble is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. It's about realizing it's not all about you. Have you ever wondered why we have to ask God? Repeatedly in Scripture, it says, ask God and He will freely give you. Well, God's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He knows every thought, every action, every feeling. Why do we have to ask? Is it so He can feel better about Himself? Oh God, I need you. Yeah, I know you do. That's not our God. The answer is, interestingly, found in the AA program. There's a little chip that people receive when they get sober for a year. It has three little phrases on it. Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. It says to the person as they hold the chip proudly that they have achieved their goal to this point, but that there is a goal still ahead. And that we need to ask God's help. We need to say, God, help us. We can't just expect God to intervene. He's a gentleman. He made you with choice. He made me with choice. So I have to ask God, even though He knows everything about me, even though He made me. And asking is good for us. You know, the big book was written, the big book of AA, was written from a Christian point of view. Whenever there is a reference, it is capitalized because he believed in Scripture and found the answers in Scripture. And today, AA is able to have you make up what is your God. But it always says that there is somebody that we are accountable to. And it tells us that we need to remove some obstacles in our lives so that we can see clearly. That's what James is telling us. That's what Jesus said when he said, take the log out of your own eye before you try to take the sliver out of your neighbor's eye. We each need that. So the steps focus on those issues in AA. The first one is, I am powerless. First of all, we have to recognize that God is above us. God is stronger than us. Second, we have to realize that there is one who has power. And third, we have to then submit to that power and put ourselves under it. The fourth step is to know what my issues are, to learn about ourselves, to take inventory. Number five, to admit them. Yeah, I guess that's me. Have you ever sat down and written some of the things you're not proud of in life? And then you look at that list and you go, Now I've never worked the AA program, but as a therapist, I've certainly encouraged it in a number of people. I'm certainly very proud of the program and the work that it has done in people's lives. The sixth step is we need to want those problems removed from our lives. And step seven is to face our shortcomings. And one of those is pride. God, I need you to take away the obstacles that keep me from you. And you know what? Just repeating those things in our lives have helped millions of people. Because saying those things out loud, they become real in our lives. Now, you might not need an AA program, but every one of us needs to submit to God, don't we? That's what James is saying. The pride gets in our way. You know, pride is a difficult animal in our lives. There is good pride. Taking pride in your servitude to God, what you've done in this world to help other people, those are good things, but they can turn bad if what it does is make you seem better than your neighbor. So I think what is being asked here is that the way in which we approach God matters because it shows our willingness to change. And the truth is we have to face things like envy. It's a focus on who we are and what we don't have, isn't it? And we're promoted to what we don't have by Madison Avenue. But that's not brand new. One of the first stories in the Bible is Cain and Abel. And envy is the cause of murder. Second, envy, it cripples our security. When we're envious, we're not satisfied. And when we're not satisfied, when we're not able to be who we want to be in life, it cripples every relationship in our lives because it cripples the trust we have in God. And it cripples our relationship with others. When we're so focused on us that we can't focus on the you in our lives, it weakens us. Look at Joseph's brothers in Genesis. They were so focused on what Joseph was receiving, the coat of many colors, that they took him out. Whether they took him out to be murdered or whether they just left him because they wanted him out of their lives. Their envy crippled their relationship with their younger brother. Envy cripples our respect for authority. Look at Aaron and Miriam, who envied the power and the relationship with God that Moses had. I don't know why. I don't know why so-and-so succeeds when I can't. That's a dangerous thing to say. Because when we compare ourselves to others and come up short, it strengthens envy in our lives. And when we're envious, we can't enjoy what we do have. Look at Haman. He was successful, but he just had to remove Esther. Envy, it cripples our ability to enjoy what we do have. And that cripples our ability to give thanks, which is what the choir sang. Thanks. You know, there are times when, like now, the budget issue weighs on a pastor's heart. It's easy for me to get depressed and down and wonder about things. But you know what? This is a vibrant church with people that love one another. Roland had a crew out there before I got here. There are Bible studies everywhere. Jack's promoting the mission conference. There's so much vitality in this congregation. And people that love one another. People that are representative of God. Don't let it cripple our ability to enjoy what we do have. You see, because then envy cripples our own spiritual growth. Pride, it said, is the only disease that makes everyone sick except the one who has it. Someone once wrote, swallow your pride occasionally. It's not fattening. You know, the truth is that as we read James, he puts us in front of a mirror and he says, who do you want to be? And what do you see right now? There's a great old story. Lord Ponsonby, I read this in Time magazine once, a 19th century English diplomat. He was famed for his perfect manners, his tact, and his quick wit. And one time when he was serving the English kingdom in Turkey, the Sultan of Turkey felt that the diplomatic corps in which Ponsonby was serving did not show sufficient humility when entering the royal palace. So the Sultan ordered a new, very low door so that when anybody came in, they had to get down on their hands and knees and crawl into it. But Ponsonby turned the tables on him. He backed in butt first. And of course, one of the greatest illustrations of pride is from Peanuts. When Linus and Charlie Brown are talking, and they're talking about their plans when they grow up, and Linus says, when I get big, I'm going to be a humble little country doctor. I'll live in the city, and every morning I'll get up, I'll climb into my red sports car and zoom into the country, and then I'll start healing people. I'll heal everybody for miles around. And then he looks up and he says, I'll be the world famous humble little country doctor. We have to laugh at pride because it is insidious. And it captures so much of our lives and our attention that James has to wag his finger and say, watch out, my beloved. Don't let this get in the way of letting God love you. My pastor, Lloyd Ogilvie, was famous for that phrase, let God love you. If God loves you, you open the doors to receiving. And you let him work through you. Think about your neighborhood. Think about your family. Think about your jobs. Let God love you and love the people through you. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together and sing hymn number 367.